Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Hurry Up Podcast. I'm your host, Ayush Gupta, and I'm joined today by Ben Cohen.
How's it going?
Michael Lovanos.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Damon Bala.
Hey, what's up, guys?
So today we're going to recap free agency so far. There's been a lot of deals. We're just going to go through what we've liked and what we've disliked.
I mean, I like what the Patriots are doing. I don't know this whole... I think the media is hyping up a little bit to like what it's actually meant out to be. Like, I don't think they're the best in the division. I don't even know if they're the second best in the division. But they made a lot of improvements. They're definitely not the worst now. I like how they're giving Cam some weapons to work with. I was talking about this with Ben a couple of weeks back. I kind of wanted to stick with Cam. I wanted to like see him have another year. Ayush said a while ago, like, have another year with the system, get used to it. I think Nelson Agholor is a really good pickup. I don't know if he's worth all the money that they're throwing at him.
It's not that much.
Ben and I were talking about this. Yeah, but we were saying how it's more than what Juju is being given, or what the hit.
It's a $7 million cap hit. How? If he's getting paid, it's $11 million plus two in incentives.
That's not how the cap works. It's a backloaded deal, and it's going to go up. It'll be restructured before the second part of the deal hits. So it's essentially a one-year deal worth $7 million, and then it's like a team option for the next year to restructure.
Okay, I guess. But like again, if he's getting paid slightly less than Juju, I mean, the valuation isn't good. That being said, I don't necessarily have a problem with the valuation not being good because the Patriots have a lot of money to throw around.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a problem. I think for teams that have a cap crunch, of course, you know, money matters for more, but it shouldn't matter. Like, the issue that I have with the Patriots signings isn't that they overpaid. It's just that I think they're being overrated as a team. Like Micah said, I agree with him. But I don't know. We'll see what you guys think.
The thing is, I think it was a little bit of an overrate that like after every single signing, the media was like, "Oh my God, Belichick is doing so well." Like we don't know that. It's March. I'm not gonna really know that until the end of the season, maybe even longer than that. But what I do like is they filled their hole at tight end. Definitely went from the worst tight end room to the best in the league. Their offensive line they shored up. They lost Joe Tooney, but they traded for Trent Brown and they got David Andrews back, which is huge. So that offensive line is going to be a great unit. And I think kind of underrated, they shored up their linebacker core, which was really weak last year. Dante Hightower was coming back. We knew that before. This past week, hopefully he doesn't retire suddenly like Patrick Chung did. But I'm assuming he comes back. And they got Kyle Van Noy. They have Matthew Judon, which should be a really, really interesting linebacker unit. Plus Josh Uche, Chase Winovich. So, I mean... I don't really see Jaylen many Mills. Roles on this team. Well, Mills will fill in the role of Chung at the safety spot. But, I mean, I really don't see that many holes on this team. The secondary is great. The D-line is pretty good. They've shored that up in free agency as well. The linebacking core is great. The tight ends are great. Running game is great, I'd say, overall.
It's great, yeah.
The wide receivers aren't that great.
Even running backs, I would go to an extent where I would say our running back core is actually pretty good.
It's pretty good.
If you look a little bit more in depth, you see people like Damian Harris, James White, who are maybe not as much James White, but Damian Harris. Someone like him, last 10 games, he went on like a spree of having 100-yard games, 70-yard games, and they kind of went unnoticed. So I feel like the Patriots as a running back core is super underrated. No one really talks about them. And I think next season, especially with a better offensive line or maybe a similar offensive line and improving offensive line, I feel Damian Harris will be able to make a huge impact. And I'm not even factoring in Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. Yeah. Of course, they're not blocking tight ends, but good tight ends nonetheless who will be able to block for Damian Harris.
And that leaves their holes at wide receiver and quarterback. Quarterback,
I think
like
quarterback's the biggest not to hole. Not to mention the draft.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the draft
they
is
can
upcoming.
Still make moves in the draft. We don't know. There's been a couple also, rumblings with like Justin you were Fields, saying, but yeah. But
like you were saying, Cam has another offseason that he has that he can get under his belt. Who knows? Like I'm not expecting anything, but there's only positives. There's no real negative.
I know I was optimistic last season with Cam, on the podcast, but I'm still optimistic that he can do even better. Yeah. I think before he went down with COVID, I think he was really positive. I don't think he was, you know, the MVP caliber Cam. I don't think anyone really thought that he was going to go back to that, but he was good. But I think a lot of the success again will come down to Cam and if he can really get things going. But yeah,
I'm not really too worried, because in the past the Patriots have had success with the two tight end set. Whenever they've had two tight ends, they haven't needed to have those number one wide receivers alongside them, because the tight ends open up the field so much, especially under Bill Belichick. You've seen what they've done. I mean, obviously this duo isn't Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski in their prime, but I mean, they're still really good. Probably the best duo in the league still.
I think they'll look to add a depth running back too. Like, yeah,
I think they will.
Maybe even, you know who would be really interesting on the Patriots as a depth running back?
Fournette.
I think Fournette's too good for that role. I would love to see Adrian Peterson there. He won't because he's changing the ring.
I don't want his old knees.
Just bring James White back.
That works. But I guess Adrian Peterson's also chasing a ring. But
I definitely do not want Adrian Peterson.
He'd be a great mentor to Damian Harris.
In his prime, he was the best running back. Maybe even a top 15 running back in his prime. But
top 10.
Yeah,
top five is. I was gonna say top 10. Top 10's reasonable. But anyways, that's not the point. I don't want an old Adrian Peterson. I would rather have a James White, like you said, who we can probably sign at a similar money. Plus, James White already knows our playbook and the system.
Absolutely.
But then after saying all that and seeing that the only weakness is Cam Newton at quarterback, how can you not say that this team isn't a top five, top six team in the AFC and
because
top two
the quarterback?
AFC is so good.
Right, and also in addition, I would say the quarterback position is the position that kind of carries your team. And without a solid quarterback, you're not going to have a solid team. So much relies on Cam Newton. I would say that they're a top five AFC team.
Yeah.
Maybe not, no doubt, but I would say they're in contention of a top five AFC team.
Here's the thing. Like you have the Chiefs, Bills, clearly better, right?
Right.
Browns, yes. Ravens, I'd also say are better. But then after that, who are you really putting over them?
The Colts. I'm so
but
high
why?
On the Colts.
But why?
Because they're really good.
I don't put them ahead.
Their quarterback
good.
Is
why do you think
worse than Cam? What,
I don't
did
agree
you watch
with
Carson
you.
Wentz last year?
The Eagles are a
he's,
dumpster
he's
fire.
Awful.
I listen. 70% of the world is too low on Carson Wentz, and 30% of the world is too high on Carson Wentz. He's not a great quarterback. He used to be a really good quarterback. Patrick said last year that the demise of Carson Wentz has been something like we've never seen before. And there's a reason that we've never seen it before, because I don't think all of it's on him. The Eagles were a dumpster fire. The Eagles are a dumpster fire. We'll talk about the NFC East at some point. There's only one team in that division that cannot win it, and it's the Eagles. There's a reason for that. They're an awful team. The fact that they're not awful, or the fact that they can win it?
I think that any team can still win the NFC East.
The Eagles, man, the Eagles suck. The Eagles are one of the worst run franchises.
It's a really bad division.
I don't agree with you. We'll get onto
it
later.
It's a terrible division.
I don't think it's that bad anymore. I really don't. But I think Carson Wentz is capable. I think he's capable. And excuse me, I love everything else about the Indy team. And they've still got $40 million in cap space.
That's the only
thing. I don't
think
they're
done.
That's
the only thing. Because here's the thing.
They haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, they haven't done anything. But the Colts, who do they have? They have Michael Pittman, right?
T.Y. Hilton. And
T.Y. Hilton's not back yet, is he?
T.Y. Hilton's just been... T.Y. Hilton's been underrated because he got double covered. He's not good enough to play through double coverage, and he got double covered all of last year, which is why he didn't do anything. But he's still a good receiver if he's not in double coverage, which is why they need to add.
Even just Hilton and Pittman, like, that's not as good as the Patriots' core
right
now. Yeah,
but they're going to upgrade. They're going to draft or get... why I want them to get a wide receiver so badly.
But what I'm
saying
is...
That's their issues at tight end.
What I'm saying is, if you don't take into account the cap space, which I think is... Obviously, you should be taking that into account. But if you look at the current rosters, I don't know how you can say the Colts roster is better than the Patriots roster.
I agree. I don't know how you say
okay, this. Maybe. We'll see. The other thing that I wouldn't discount is I think... The Colts have been together now for a year.
Bro, no.
Here's why it does matter. It's not that it's that big a deal that the Colts have been together. It's that big a deal that the Patriots are completely new.
It's a whole new quarterback. It's a whole new quarterback. You can't get much newer than that.
The Patriots have Cam Newton returning.
Listen,
the
Colts if you switch in a wide receiver, nobody else returning.
The Patriots have nobody else returning.
That doesn't really matter.
Cam Newton's returning.
If you look at the last few years, the teams that have spent the biggest in free agency have not done well. And there's a reason for it. It's not necessarily because the standing is that bad.
It's because they all have sucky coaches.
They haven't done well in the postseason, but in the regular season, they've experienced +3 to +7 wins from the previous year.
Great. I think the Patriots are
improved. And that's without a Bill Belichick. I have them going at maybe 11-6 or even a 12. Yeah. A 12-5 team.
I agree. I think the Patriots are well improved. I think they're going to be a good team. They're not going to be a team that anybody wants to play.
Listen, Ben, as much as you don't want to hear this, I wouldn't be 100% surprised if the Patriots beat the Bills. Not finish better, but beat the Bills.
Oh, of course. Of course. I wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins beat the Bills either. Any team can beat any team. I would be shocked if the Bills didn't win the division. Football is different than basketball.
Basketball, any team can beat any team.
But I think football is harder to beat.
No, that's not true. The Patriots could have beaten the Bills last year.
The Patriots also beat the Bills, almost beat the Bills last year, and they were awful last year.
Ben, what was the point you were trying to make?
The Patriots are much improved. They're not in the upper echelon of teams. And I wrote an article about this, and you can check it out. But I think, and you agreed, Ayush, and I'll see what the rest of you think. The reason that I think these are good pickups is because, like I alluded to earlier, I don't think the cap hit is the issue, because who cares about the money spent? I don't think the Patriots to me are building this roster to mentor this young core that they're going to develop, that starts with Damian Harris, and, you know, Josh Uche, Chase Winovich, some other guys, and then the guys that they're going to draft this year, and the young quarterback that they'll draft this year or draft next year, to take into the next team. Nelson Aguilar will be there for a few years, and he'll be a developmental wide receiver that's not going to be there when the Patriots become contenders. But what it does is it allows, when the Patriots start this rebuild, they're not starting from the 2-14 Jets, or the 1-15 Jaguars. They're starting from 10-7 or 11-6. The 17-game schedule is confusing me. So they're starting from a higher floor, so that to get better, unless you had a little bit better, because the Patriots, as bad as the Patriots were, I mean, 7-9 is... The Patriots are the 15th overall pick in their worst season in ages. That's not that bad if we're talking about bad teams.
Oh, not at all.
They're one of the better. So if they're getting... If you're able to improve and then not stay in that mediocrity of... You know, sort of almost where the Colts have been. If the Patriots can sort of mock what the Colts are doing, actually, which maybe you disagree with, but I like what the Colts are doing, where you're not in mediocrity, in, you know, we're going to be maybe make the playoffs, but we're not going to be bad enough to get the number one pick or good enough to ever contend. If you can instead keep making the right additions and keep signing good contracts, that's a team that can contend 3, 4, 5 years down the line. Instead of forcing something now or getting so bad that it's going to take longer to contend. That's why I like what the Patriots are doing, is that they're keeping their timeline so Belichick can still be there when they contend, but they're not forcing something, because the fact of the matter is there are teams in the league that are just too good for you to be able to contend against right now unless you get Deshaun Watson. If the Patriots get Deshaun Watson, throw everything I just said out the window.
That's not looking too good for anyone.
Yeah, that's a different conversation, but...
That's a no-cap episode, but 14 still, lawsuits.
But still, I think that, I mean, I read your article, and I think your main point still was, it's because there's so many other good teams in the AFC, and I really don't think there's four that you could say are better, and the bottom two, the Ravens and the Browns, like, they're up and down.
I don't know about you guys, but the Browns, like you just said, are super, super unstable. Yep. They can have a game where Nick Chubb goes off for 150 yards, and they can also have a game where Nick Chubb drops 10 yards. And that's kind of the deciding factor. Baker Mayfield isn't all that great. It's kind of the weapons around him that make him great. I honestly, at this point, I put the Patriots at the same level as the Ravens and the Browns.
Even when you say they're streaky, I still think they're in a better place than the Patriots, sure. Just because they've already proven themselves with the core.
This is me talking as a Patriots fan.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, proving themselves now, though.
Beating the Steelers in the playoffs. I just think, like, the Patriots went 7-9 last year. I was kind of saying earlier, I don't want to jump too far ahead with this, like, all the trades that they've made. We don't know how they're going to perform. We don't know how Cam is going to do. I think to put them on the level with the Browns and the Ravens, you could say that, but we just don't know. Like, yeah, we don't know.
True. I mean, Micah, like you said, 7-9, which was the Patriots' record last year, I feel like that didn't give an equal representation of their actual team. I feel like they were more of a 10 or maybe a 9-17.
No, I think that was fair.
I don't think 7-9 was fair.
They should have been worse than 7-9.
The perception was worse than 7-9.
Yeah, they totally looked like
the perception of the team was 5-12.
They looked like a 3-win or 4-win team.
We had some really good games in the beginning, such as Bills, Seahawks, that we both should have won.
I think
the downfall was Cam. Those are two games that we most likely should have won.
I think you failed to credit Bill Belichick with getting a 3-4 win caliber team to 7 wins.
The other thing is, I'm inclined to agree with you actually about the Ravens, because I think the Ravens have made some lateral moves. And I forget whether we were talking about who was the wide receiver. I'm blanking that I don't know if they did sign or were talking about signing.
Kenny Galladay.
No, not Kenny Galladay. It was a. Who are we talking about? It was like a... I was thinking about it as Marquise Brown light. Like, I forget who we were talking about. But anyway, no, it's worse than Will Fuller. It was like... Anyway, not important who the person was. The Ravens haven't made relevant moves, and they should. They've gotten significantly worse defensively. Players
like Matt Judon.
Yeah, exactly. They've gotten significantly worse with the loss of Matt Judon. Their defense is getting older. You're not surrounding Lamar Jackson with any talent.
Do you know the guy that went to the Raiders? Didn't they just lose him too? Or was he on the Jaguars?
Ngakoue, Ngakoue was on the Raiders. It was on the Ravens. He got traded there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
they're getting much worse defensively.
Mark Andrews has gotten worse in my personal.
But I disagree with you guys about the Browns. I think the Browns are that division's favorite by a long shot.
Yeah.
I think they've gotten significantly better.
Yeah.
I think Mayfield's continuing to improve. I disagree that Nick Chubb is inconsistent. I think he just got injured. And also...
Yeah, but that comes with inconsistency.
Okay, but they also have Kareem Hunt behind him.
That's true.
And if they trade... They're either going to get Odell back or trade him and get something substantial in return. So it's a win-win.
I think they're going to bring him back.
And they have a good wide receiver core anyway. They brought back Rashard Higgins, who's like their third or fourth receiver after Landry and Peoples-Jones. And their problem was their defense, and they just signed a fantastic safety in John Johnson and a fantastic corner in Troy Hill. This team is really good. I think, if anything, this team is not that far away from being considered along with the Bills and the Chiefs. I truly think that. Yeah. I think I would be, unless the Ravens do something substantial, I would be honestly pretty shocked if the Browns don't win this division. I'm ready to say they're contenders. I think this is a really good team, and the only thing that takes away from that is that you've got a little bit of the Cam Newton syndrome, even Carson Wentz syndrome with Baker Mayfield, where he's a much better player than he was. Absolutely, you can't deny that. But how long is he going to keep it going? Is he going to be the player that we saw at the tail end of last season? Because if so, this team is right up there with the best teams in the league. But also, would it shock any of us if he isn't that player? I don't think so. Like, I don't think he's proven that consistency yet. But if he does, watch out for this team. I really love what they've done.
If
he takes a Josh Allen type jump, I think they could definitely be dangerous.
Mm. I don't even think he needs to take that type of jump, because good as the Bills and the Chiefs, but I think 2020 Baker Mayfield was better than 2019 Josh Allen.
Sure.
And I don't think Baker Mayfield has to become an MVP caliber quarterback. I think Baker Mayfield has to become like a top 10 quarterback.
Do you think there's a chance that Josh Allen hits a little bit of regression going into next year?
No.
Maybe. I mean, depends what you would define as a regression. Like,
yeah,
Josh Allen had a year last year that numbers-wise was, depending on who you ask, second or third in an MVP conversation. And some years that's an MVP season. Not most years, but there are years where that season that Josh Allen just gave was an MVP season. Those aren't numbers that you would expect any quarterback to replicate. But Also, I would expect the defense to be better because I think while the defense improved a little bit in the second half of the season, I think if you take, you know, the Bills defense of the last 5 years, they should be better than they were last year. And that's sort of like an in-house change. So I wouldn't say that if a Josh Allen regression, if there is one, is substantial. I mean, if you're talking about his trajectory, it's up, I think. I don't think there's a reason why it wouldn't be, right?
Well, personally, I think that there is a good chance for regression. I think if Josh Allen is the great quarterback that he is, he'll keep doing that. He'll keep having MVP caliber years. But if he's just a good quarterback, an average quarterback, he's going to regress and he's going to have streaky years. Mm. So, I mean, there's a chance that he does again, but this is going to be like the test of if he really is that, like, that guy. If he's that great quarterback that Ben is claiming every week on the podcast. But I really like Josh Allen. I've said it for a while. I'm really high on him. I think he's going to continue it, but I think there will be a slight regression, not like MVP caliber season. But I guess we'll just have to see if he continues it.
Yeah. Can we talk a little bit about the Washington football team? I know Patrick isn't here, but they've had quite the offseason as well.
Yeah.
I like their moves a lot. I know there are a lot of people in the national media that are not a huge fan of the Fitzpatrick signing. I think it's a fantastic one. Because I liken the Washington football team situation to the Patriots one, a little bit to the Patriots, a little bit to the Colts, what the teams we've been talking about, where this team is obviously not ready to contend. The difference being with them and the Patriots, is that they're in a division that they can win without even being that good. Obviously because they did it last year, and I forget if they were 6-10 or 7-9, but they won it somehow. And this is a defense that was already fantastic, and they just had to upgrade offensively. I really like their running back, Antonio Gibson. I love Terry McLaurin. They had to get a new quarterback, and they had to get other weapons. And they did that. Curtis Samuel, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not going to be the quarterback that contends with them, but I don't see why he can't be the quarterback that mentors this young group to be where the Colts ended up being. Where the Colts are now, where they were a really good roster that was a quarterback away from being a contender, and then they're taking a chance on Carson Wentz, and if it works out, and you get the Carson Wentz of 2018, they're a Super Bowl contender. And we disagree on the likelihood of that happening, but that's the gamble they're taking. And then that's the gamble that the Patriots may be ready to take in 2 years, and the gamble that Washington might be ready to take in 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I really like what they've done.
I also like the William Jackson signing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Another team that I think's improved a lot is the Jaguars, and they have a lot of great picks upcoming in this draft, and they've already done a lot in free agency, in my opinion.
And they had so much money to spend.
Yeah, I mean, then you're going to add what everyone expects to be Trevor Lawrence. I think we can all agree on that. He'll slot right in, I think. I don't know where they're going to end up this year. I don't know if they're going to be contenders for playoffs yet, but they're definitely trending in the right direction. I like where they're going.
Do you guys, what do you guys think of the Kenny Golladay signing by the Giants? Do you think that helps? How much do you think that helps Daniel Jones? Because obviously helps him, but.
Well, I feel like it's the same thing as the Patriots, right? Like, in the sense that they overpaid, but, like, it's worth it to overpay. You're not in a position where anyone's going to take a pay cut to come with you, to come sign with you if you're the New York Giants right now. But he's going to be super helpful. He's a fantastic wide receiver. It doesn't matter that $18 million a year might be a little bit too much because they weren't going to contend anyway yet. And they're making a really good signing in the end. They're upgrading their offense drastically. And sort of the same thing that we've talked about with these other teams, where it sort of just puts the ball in Daniel Jones's hands. And it becomes this team that he has to take to the next level, that Ryan Fitzpatrick has to take to the next level. Cam Newton has to take to the next level. Carson Wentz has to take to the next level. I think it's these teams are sort of all putting themselves in similar situations, right? Especially, like we said, in the NFC East, where it's an easy division to win. It's not like the Patriots, where they have to overcome the Bills, who established themselves as contenders. That division is a free-for-all.
Yeah.
I just don't really see it. Like, I just think Daniel Jones is so, so mediocre, in my opinion. I don't see him bringing the Giants to that next level.
The thing is, I'm sure of that, and you're completely right. But yeah. After what we've seen from Josh Allen 2019 to 2020 with the addition of Stephon Diggs, I just don't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's a good call. And you can't deny that he's got weapons now. I mean, that's a really good group. They signed Kyle Rudolph, who, again, I think they overpaid for him. I think Kyle Rudolph's a little bit washed. But, like, that, again, when you have money to spend and you spent it, well done. Like, on a team that's not ready to contend, to add to Evan Engram, who somehow made the Pro Bowl last year, maybe he's still young. Darius Slayton and why am I blanking on the other Giants wide receiver who's decent? But then Saquon Barkley, and again, I don't like the Devontae Booker signing, but he shouldn't play that much if Saquon Barkley is healthy. That's a good group. And then you've got a Giants defense that was underrated last year. It was in the top half of the league. They stole the Giants some wins, and they almost won the division. Again, a bad division, but it's still the same division, which is why the NFC is really interesting, right? Because in the Giants and the football team, you have these two teams that are good rosters, good, very good coaches. I really like Joe Judge, and obviously Ron Rivera is a fantastic coach. And then you've got question marks at quarterback. And these teams have done a really good job, actually, I think. I think an underrated job on both accounts at surrounding the quarterback on offense and on defense with good players.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the, you know, the ball's in the quarterback's court, or hands. And then in the Cowboys, you've got this team that is not good, but you have a really good quarterback. A quarterback that they overpaid, but also a quarterback that they kind of had to overpay.
He's pretty good. I don't know if he's really good.
No, he's not a $40 million quarterback, but he's a $30 million quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a top half quarterback. And that's better than the rest of the division has, where because the quarterback is so important, even though the rest of that team is not good, would it surprise any of you if any of those three teams won the division? I don't think so.
No, I mean, the NFC East has been this kind of carousel for the past decade, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I think
it'll quite clearly go to the football team this year, though. Like, I think out of all four teams.
Really? Yeah, I would say they're the favorites.
I think it'll end up being a race. I don't even know if it'll be a race. I think it'll just be between the Giants and the football team, I think. Just like, I like Fitzpatrick. Like, I think Fitzpatrick is, like, decent. I don't know. He's getting older, so we'll have to see. But with what the football team has, I think they just have what it takes to win the division more than the Giants and the rest.
The thing is, like, do you want to guess the last time someone was a repeat champion in the NFC East?
Isn't it? It's got to be, like, it's more than a decade ago, I think.
It was the same two seasons where the last time there was a repeat Super Bowl champion from 2003 or 2004.
Yeah.
Was the last time. Wow.
Yeah, wow. That's a horrible division. So.
Yeah. If you guys are good, there's two teams that I want to talk about where I have absolutely no idea what the hell these two teams are doing. The first one is the Raiders. What are they doing? Literally, the only good thing about the Raiders last year was their offensive line. They got rid of their offensive line.
Very questionable.
And, like, what? I don't understand what they're doing. I don't understand the signings they're making. It makes zero sense to me. Kenyon Drake, I've been on this train for years. He's not a good running back. People need to stop assuming he's a good running back. Arizona took a flyer on him. He's not a good running back. He's a fine running back. Yeah, if you were going to, like...
But then he's a backup.
If the Patriots had signed Kenyon Drake to go with Damian Harris, fantastic.
I think you're ragging a little too hard. Why are you paying
Kenyon Drake $6.5 million? Like, why?
That's a really good combo,
They're not addressing the defense, which needs help. That doesn't make any sense. Like, they randomly signed Yannick Ngakoue to $13 million a year. Okay, fine. I like that. But I... really? Really, Chucky? Like, what are they doing in Las Vegas?
I mean, I think they've made a bunch of small signings, and I think that we overrate how bad their offseason's been a little bit. I think it has been bad, but they brought in a couple wide receivers, I believe. Was it Zay Jones?
Yeah, but they kept him. He's not good.
You're also forgetting how good...
John Brown, I think, is a fine signing. Yeah.
You're forgetting how well Henry Ruggs was doing before he went down with that injury. Like, he was having a really good season.
I think
with
he's
going to
be a kick returner in his career. And, like, a kick returner.
Come on.
A kick returner deep threat. That's Henry Ruggs.
No,
kick I don't know about that.
He's got a lot of potential.
I think
he's
potential.
We'll see. The other team that I don't know what they're doing is the Chicago Bears. Because they made the playoffs last year. They were, 8-8? But they made the playoffs last year. And then they were like, oh, what are we going to do? We're going to sign Andy Dalton as our starting quarterback.
And we're going to let go of our two best defensive players.
And we're going to let go of our best of two.
Two of them.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
At least they got Allen Robinson back
another
year.
But they spent their whole offseason chasing Kenny Golladay. Literally, what is the point?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Like, that would have been really cool to have Andy Dalton throwing to Kenny Golladay and Allen Robinson. That's such a... that's mind-bogglingly stupid. While getting so much worse on defense for no reason. They didn't need to.
What I don't understand is somehow PFF still has the Bears in the positives in terms of their offseason improvement index.
That makes... I think
which doesn't really make sense
that's
to me.
Questionable.
PFF makes no sense. PFF is like... you find the stats interesting, but you should never use them for your arguments, because what PFF is you ignore them when you disagree with them, and you use it when you agree with it. So it's like, honestly, what are you doing?
But I mean,
I think you follow it for the stats.
I think this chart is generally right. I didn't understand the Bears one. They had a pretty bad offseason.
The Bears make no sense. Those two teams, they make no sense to me.
Yeah.
I just don't understand it.
Can we talk about how much worse the Lions got too?
Yeah, but who cares? Like, here's that thing that I...
We were talking about it when the Goff and Stafford trade happened. Like, you guys were all saying how, like, oh, it's going to be Goff's time. Like,
but they,
no,
they lost
I think...
Golladay and Marvin Jones.
I had a bone to pick, or not even a bone to pick, but in the NFL, I feel like they're sort of, this offseason is sort of separated... teams into, there's so many teams that I like what they're doing and I like where they're developing. The teams we've mentioned, Colts, Patriots, football team, Giants, Jaguars in the future,
Browns,
Browns, Dolphins we haven't talked about, Cardinals we haven't talked about. I'd still like to see the 49ers trade for Sam Darnold. And they're sort of, we're separating into like three categories. We've got the established contenders. We've got the really... there are so many good up-and-coming teams that that's becoming a second category, which is leaving the third category just, like, irrelevant teams. Like, I'm sorry, the Detroit Lions are irrelevant right now. The Minnesota Vikings are irrelevant right now. The Philadelphia Eagles are irrelevant right now. The Raiders are irrelevant right now. The Broncos are irrelevant right now. The Texans are relevant because of how stupid they are.
No, awful.
The Titans better fix up before they start getting irrelevant.
Wow, what a bad offseason they've had, too.
Yeah. I know. The Steelers better fix up before they start getting irrelevant. The Bengals better protect Joe Burrow or they're going to become irrelevant. The Ravens better get Lamar Jackson some weapons or they're going to become irrelevant.
Yeah,
I like what the Jets are doing. I know they haven't done anything. It makes no sense to me.
It's really appalling.
There's too much going on where I truly believe that teams are getting irrelevant fast.
Yeah.
That's
what happens in the NFL. You go up and down real quick. The Bills went from nobodies to contenders.
But last year it wasn't happening at this rate. Like, there were still teams who had subpar off seasons, but they weren't in this category.
Oh, you know who else is getting irrelevant? The Saints are getting irrelevant.
Yeah. Well, that's because they had like negative $100 million to start the offseason. So I think I would actually give them a little bit of a round of applause for what they've done. Obviously not for getting in the situation that they were in, but for getting out of that, not losing Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
And I think Jameis Winston actually does have some promise.
And I'll say I like what the Seahawks are doing too, quietly. They haven't done enough.
I don't know if they've satisfied Russell Wilson.
They signed a tight end and an off and a guard. Like, eh. It's enough to keep him. It's enough to keep him, I think. And you've got Russell Wilson. Like,
Would you have done that deal? By the way, the Bears offered like 3 first round picks. I believe Akeem Hicks and Kyle
Fuller. I would have taken it if I were Seattle.
Yeah.
Not first of all, because that's a huge, huge package. Second of all, because maybe I'm just a cynic, but I think the Seahawks window is closed. I don't think it's opening again. I think they're doing just enough to keep Russell Wilson happy. Happy enough. You know, to not force his way out. And I think that they're a combination of the fact that they're in the toughest division in football and Russell Wilson's getting old. That's franchise quarterback young money. That's Deshaun Watson money. If the Texans had said no to that for Deshaun Watson, they'd have been stupid. And Deshaun Watson's worth more to me than Russell Wilson right now, even though Russell Wilson's a better quarterback.
Oh, definitely. To me. Definitely.
And really? Deshaun Watson's, what, 10 years younger? 8 years younger?
Oh, yeah. He's obviously more valuable.
Yeah.
I would have taken it if I were the Texans, so I had to have taken it if I were the Seahawks.
So I don't know if it's a real offer then, but that was what was reported, at least.
Yeah, that can't be real, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Bears did end up, they released both of those guys shortly after those reports, so maybe.
Maybe it's that they were, maybe the Seahawks, you know, both of those teams know more than we do about those two players. Maybe they're a little bit.
Yeah. Or, sorry, you know, they didn't release Hicks. They let him seek a trade, but they released Fuller.
Didn't they end up getting like a 6th or a 5th for him in the end from someone?
I don't know if they traded him. I know the Broncos got him, I believe.
Interesting.
The Broncos have a really interesting secondary.
Yeah, so. They do have a good secondary. They're still
You were calling the Broncos irrelevant. I would actually argue that their team is kind of interesting outside of quarterback.
But again, outside of quarterback. Like
that they have a top 10 pick.
Okay, fine. Draft a quarterback. I don't think they will. I think they're going to
stick with Locke, which is kind of unfortunate, but
yeah.
I don't know. Bowles looked really good
enough making moves in the draft.
It's like rating the Patriots team without Belichick.
No, it's not the same thing.
Because, I mean, think about it. The Patriots have a better team around a quarterback. That quarterback being Cam Newton, who is probably a little bit better than Drew Locke. And they have Bill Belichick, and the Broncos don't.
Oh, yeah, that's why they're a mile ahead of... That's why we're considering them a mile ahead of the Broncos.
Yeah, that's why Denver are irrelevant.
But like, I don't think they're irrelevant. I think they're up and coming. I think
if you had known the team that the Patriots were going to be last year, you would have called them irrelevant last year. Except for the fact that they were the team that has won 6 Super Bowls in 20 years.
If the Broncos get Mac Jones or Trey Lance, I think in a couple of years they'll be on the up, and I think you could see them in contention in a couple of years. I wouldn't call them irrelevant.
I hope so. I hope they're franchised as well. No. I also kind of I think every once in a while John Elway does something boneheaded.
No, I mean the only
he's got to get honestly, some decisions right.
Honestly, I think the only smart decision he made was signing Peyton Manning, and that wasn't really a decision. That was just his sway over Peyton Manning because he was a great quarterback. So
yeah. Well, that's the thing is he's got to make some right. That's the what's going to distinguish these up and coming teams is at some point their higher ups are going to have to make really important decisions. And it's going to be the most important decisions they've made in their entire careers, with the exception of Bill Belichick, because the Patriots are an up and coming team and he's made many more important decisions in the past.
Yeah.
And if they get it wrong, or even if they don't get it right, they're just not going to become contenders. It's what being a GM in literally every sport is about. It's when you're about to be good, there are going to be a couple of decisions that you have to get right 100%. When you're against the cap, you have to draft really, really well. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to sustain your success. The Colts... we all agreed that the Colts were a quarterback away from being a contender. And they took a flyer out on Carson Wentz. Part of the reason probably is that Philadelphia is keeping all his money, so they don't have to pay him a lot. And he might be really good for them. And he might be the reason that they're not a contender and that they waste some really good contracts that they have on defense. And a lot of it's luck too. Not having DeForest Buckner for half the year was hard for them. But these decisions that the Colts just had to make on Carson Wentz, that's the difference for them. If they get it right, they're a contender, and if they get it wrong, they're not going to be a contender until their next rebuild.
I just feel that if you're giving Carson Wentz that kind of upside, I don't understand why you wouldn't do the same for Cam Newton.
Carson's closer from it. Also, I think...
But he's had two major injuries.
That's fair.
Since his MVP season.
That's fair. There's two reasons. One, Cam Newton had a really good offensive line last year. And Carson Wentz had one of the worst offensive lines last year. Second of all, Carson Wentz is moving teams, which is obviously harder for a quarterback, but it's a new environment, and we know that the Eagles' environment is bad, and we know that the Colts' environment is good.
But the Colts don't have weapons. They really don't. They have Jonathan Taylor, who's amazing.
I agree with you. I agree with you, but I think they're going to draft a wide receiver and or sign one.
But is that going to be enough, a rookie wide receiver? Plus Michael Pittman?
That's why I'm pissed at them for not signing one. Because I've been high on the Colts through free agency because I expect them to sign a receiver. And I'm starting to get really disappointed that they haven't signed a receiver.
Like you're right. The 40 million.
Why weren't they in on Kenny Golladay?
Golladay would have been good.
Can you imagine 40 million. T.Y. Hilton in the slot with Kenny Golladay and Michael Pittman?
What I'll say about that 40 million, we talked about it earlier in this episode, but... Like this was the offseason to spend, which is why I think a lot of people were crediting Bill Belichick. This was the offseason where few teams had a lot of money, and those teams were the ones who had to make the moves, because next offseason, everyone's going to have money, which is why I think keeping that $40 million and not spending it was the wrong move, because now all of the top free agents are gone. So they're just gonna roll that over to next year, and yes, they'll have a ton of cap space next offseason, but everyone's going to have room, not as much as the Colts, but everyone's going to have something.
So, you know who the Colts should sign?
I think they messed up.
And I think they might. And I don't know if they're in on it. Maybe I'm wrong. But you know who the Colts should sign? Mm. The Colts should sign Antonio Brown.
Nah. I really don't see him living in Tampa Bay at all.
Do they have the money to keep him, though?
I think so. And even if they don't, they'll restructure some contracts to bring him back. Because I really don't see him leaving. It's not as much of a Gronk thing, where Gronk was like, I'm only going to play with Tom Brady. But he's Antonio Brown is pretty indebted to Tom Brady as well. He kind of revived his career. Fair. So I would be surprised if he left. And that team looks like they really enjoyed being in Tampa.
So, wait, have the Colts not brought back T.Y. Hilton yet?
I don't.
Is T.Y. Hilton a free agent? What are they doing? I take back a lot of what I said about the Colts, honestly.
That's what I'm saying.
What's wrong with them?
And honestly, so we were talking about, before we finish up this episode, the Chiefs, I think we can all say, like, obviously a contender. The Bills, like, unless something shocking happens with Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs, major regression, I think they're also contenders. The Browns had a really good offseason, and they were already showing flashes of it last year. The Ravens, we were putting that conversation too, but now we've had the conversation. They didn't do anything to help out Lamar Jackson on offense.
Another team that should be looking at Antonio Brown.
And they lost. Mm. They should definitely be. And they lost pieces on defense. So, I mean, I think they could be looking at a little bit of a hit. And all the other teams too, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, all got a little bit worse. So, I mean, I think it's interesting. You could maybe peg the
Patriots in that conversation.
It's very open after those three, in my opinion.
I think the Patriots, why not? The Patriots can be on the lower end of that tier. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
I think you've convinced me.
All right. There we go. But yeah, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you guys for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at The Official Hurry Up, where we post daily content about the NFL. You should also check out our website, thehurryup.com, where we post more in-depth content about the NFL as well. Also, go follow us on Twitter @_thehurryup, where we plan to give short pieces of insight on relevant news items on a regular basis, and on TikTok @thehurryup as well. Make sure to stay tuned for these weekly NFL segments every Wednesday, bonus content on the weekend, and our NBA segment next Monday. Thanks again, and see you guys next week.